Mental health, of course, every Tuesday, and we try and then back it up with a bit of physical health. And one of our great sponsors here is the Sydney Adventist Hospital, the SAN. They have a fantastic professionals that work there. We talk to many of those professionals. So tonight, this is to do with hearing. People with hearing aids, it changes their lives. There's a whole range of hearing aids that are available, but there's also reluctance from people to acknowledge they have a problem. Perhaps there's also quite a few barriers to people to what might be available and knowing what might be available. We know, of course, about the cochlear, which is a wonderful Australian invention. There's more than just the cochlear. So I thought we'd discuss all of this from the SAN. You've got Associate Professor Payal Mukherjee. She's an ear, nose and throat surgeon at the SAN. And here is that conversation.
Good evening, how are you?
Good. Let's just start off with the cochlear. Everyone knows about the cochlear. It's probably the best known example of an implant. How does it work?
So a cochlear implant has two components. One is surgically implanted in the ear, and another component that patients wear on top of their skin that communicates to the internal device. And its job is to transfer sound into the cochlea and the cochlear nerve. It's only eligible for patients with hearing loss in their cochlea who no longer understand spoken language through their hearing aid.
Yeah,
so when a hearing aid doesn't work, people use a cochlear implant.
The cochlear there. And look, in terms of the implant, so that's a big step, isn't it, moving to the implant. I note here that there's only, is this right, only 10% of people who actually need an implant go and actually get one. Why is that?
One of those sad conundrums of Australian innovation. Everyone, when people think about it, you know, the innovation nation, people think of the cochlear implant as one of our inventions. But unfortunately, an invention is only as good as the reach it has, and there are a few barriers to access to care, and people who are vulnerable miss out just because they're not aware that they are actually candidates. One of the biggest barriers that we have to this day is we don't have any standardized guidelines for candidacy or referral or even rehabilitation for cochlear implants. And there's been a global task force working to address this issue, because it's not just unique to Australia. I think it's across the world. We're dealing with people who are hearing disabled. And as these guidelines are coming across globally, one of the most important areas of work that we're doing is to contextualise this to Australia and make sure that we have one set of a standard of care that's visible to everybody.
So to summarise it, there are a lot of barriers between some people who might be eligible for this and might need it and actually getting it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the biggest barriers, like, we have this amazing invention, we have amazing funding strategies in place in Australia, but we're still seeing that 90% of the people who need it are not getting it, and the people who are the most vulnerable are the elderly, which, you know, is a large population of our cochlear implant recipients. Others are, you know, others come from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds, patients who live in remote and rural and regional areas. All of these vulnerable populations get even more disadvantaged when they're dealing with a disability such as hearing loss, which stops them from communicating.
Yeah, and once you get the cochlear, there's also the question of maintaining it. And there was a story last year, wasn't there, about a breakdown in care. So what's that all about, and what do we need to do in relation to that?
Look, absolutely. I mean, that was specific to children, but it's the same principle for adults as well. For a device to be effective, the cochlear implant is, you know, once you put the device in, there's a lot of brain training that you have to do to teach your brain to hear the new type of sound stimulation you're getting, because it's electrical sound and it needs to be programmed for your brain to understand, give new meaning to that sound, to understand speech. So without the, you know, cochlear implant service like the one that we have at the SAN, it's a multidisciplinary service. It's not effective. So the surgery is only one part of the care, but the audiology service that follows, the rehabilitation, is really important for successful outcomes.
And just touching on what we mentioned earlier, in terms of people who are losing their hearing and they don't want to acknowledge it, How do you then, what's your advice to those who might feel they're in that situation or they might have someone around them in that situation? How do you gently nudge them in the direction of getting care and finding out what can help them, including what we've talked about tonight?
Yeah, look, I think the most important thing to realise is there's really good data that if you do not address hearing loss, there can be downstream consequences, not just on your communication and your relationships, but also degeneration of the brain. So there was a really important paper in The Lancet that looked at patients with dementia, and they looked at modifiable and non-modifiable risk factors for dementia, and they found the biggest modifiable risk factor to prevent dementia was hearing loss, and that could be hearing loss in your 40s. So if you didn't treat your hearing loss early, down the track when you're 80, 90, and if you had other risk factors for dementia, you're more likely to get it if you didn't treat these other issues. So that's just one aspect. But then there's obviously other aspects of untreated hearing loss, not being able to communicate, impacting patients and their ability to be employable. It affects, communication affects all aspects of your person. So it's important to seek out help. So it is known as the hidden disability, but it is actually important to make sure that disability is addressed. But the other aspect is that, if you want help, where do you go? And without, as I said, one of the problems that we see is that people sometimes look for help and they get turned away by their caregivers, but because their caregivers don't know which patients to refer to. So it's important to, it's really, really easy to get an audiogram done, and it's really important to go to your GP. If there's any doubt, always ask for a referral for a specialist. And be proactive and knock on the door. We have excellent services in Australia, but it is important that we access them.
And just one other, I noticed here, the bone conduction implants, that's different to the cochlears. This is something new, is it?
Yeah, so we use different types of implants with different types of hearing loss. So the cochlear implant is a device that helps hearing loss that is, associated with the inner ear, such as age-related hearing loss. However, sometimes when the conductive mechanisms in the ear doesn't work, so some people might have a scarred up ear canal or the bones, the ossicles that conduct sound to the inner ear, they're not working or the ear is full of infection. Sometimes you use bone conduction hearing aids to bypass the sound from that infective mechanism straight to the cochlea. So for a bone conduction hearing aid to work, you need actually a healthy cochlea. For a cochlear implant, you're sort of, the cochlea doesn't work and bypassing the cochlea.
Yeah. So, look, in summary, there'd be a lot of people potentially listening to this and they mightn't be hearing it as clearly as they should, whose lives could be transformed if they just go and get what, as you say, go to the GP, ask some questions and access some of this treatment. Would that apply across the country, the same sort of thing with
cochlear implants? So with an ENT surgeon, some specialise in ear surgery, and within ear surgeons, some specialise in implantable. So it is important to make sure that you go to the right specialist.
Yep.
We have three implanting surgeons at the SAN and a wonderful department, but equally across the country, there are centres that specialise in this area. So, when people seek out specialists, it's important to make sure that they have expertise in implant surgery.
I appreciate your time tonight. I thank you so much for that.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for your time.
Yes, that's Payal Mukherjee. She's an ear, nose and throat surgeon from the Sydney Adventist Hospital, harnessing the latest scientific advancements in health while giving you the attention, respect and care that you deserve, the whole person healthcare, the SAM, one of the great institutions in Sydney. But we always speak to their professionals about this. And a couple of questions. If there's any questions you have on some of this, if you email them to us, and I might be able to pass those on about age limits and the like, because I do think there's an issue here. I reckon every single person knows somebody who either needs to be given a bit of a nudge to get a hearing aid or some assistance, or they did have to be given a nudge and eventually their lives were transformed.